Affliction. A state of pain, distress, or grief, misery. A cause of mental or bodily pain, as sickness, loss, calamity, or persecution.
Hi. Welcome to the first of hopefully many episodes of Affliction. Day to day, people face many issues. Some are on a large scale, others are more personal. This podcast will be my attempt to cover just a few of the many afflictions people have faced, and the outcomes, in hopes of bringing more of these issues to light and on a personal level. I would like to give a warning, though. Some people could consider these podcasts sensitive material. Many of the audio clips go into great detail or get up close and personal with those directly involved. So this podcast is not necessarily for those faint of heart or easily anxious. This episode, I was lucky enough to find a reservoir of clips from the World War II air raids on archive.org. Many of them inspired me, because most of the time what they teach you about war in a history class is very detached. They don't show you the people or the sounds or the feelings. So I wanted to take this opportunity to highlight those who stayed strong through the air raids and worked very hard every day just to stay alive. So here is the first episode of Affliction, the air raids.
Please keep in mind, this podcast is a unique compilation of a few of the most sensitive clips found at archive.org. In no way is this intended to imply ownership over the arranged material. This is only intended to shed light on the air raids using the best clips found.
Wir haben nun allerdings eine Aufrüstung vollzogen, wie die Welt sie noch nicht gesehen hat.
Instead now we have armed to such an extent as the world has never before seen.
Air raids. Strategic bombing during World War II, a long-term continuous attack on the enemy and their railways, harbors, cities, industries, and homes, resulting in over 1.3 million civilian casualties, 60,000 of which came solely from Britain.
This is Trafalgar Square. The noise that you hear at the moment is the sound of the air raid siren. I'm standing here just on the steps of St. Martin's in the Field. A searchlight just burst into action off in the distance, one single beam sweeping the sky above me now. People are walking along quite quietly. We're just at the entrance of an air raid shelter here, and I must move this cable over just a bit so people can walk in. There's another searchlight just square behind Nelson's statue. Here comes one of those big red buses around the corner. Double-deckers they are, just a few lights on the top deck. In this blackness, it looks very much like a ship that's passing in the night, and you just see the porthole.
My mother and I were in the house alone when the bomb hit the house next door. We had to get out and make the wreckage as quickly as we could. We went into a surface shelter where we stayed until the end of the raid. Then the next day we started out and we walked until we got to the place called Stoneleigh, where they put us up for the night. Then 2 days later we got another house, and I'm afraid that was bombed last night.
The plane is still very high and it's quite clear that he's not coming in for his bombing run. Earlier this evening, we could hear occasionally, again, those were explosions overhead. Earlier this evening, we heard a number of bombs go sliding and slithering across to fall several blocks away. Just overhead now, the burst of the anti-aircraft fire. Still, the nearby guns are not working. And the searchlights now are feeling almost directly overhead. Now you'll hear two bursts a little nearer in a moment. There they are. That hard, stony sound.
Now, the old lady on our right refused to go down the shelter. she was almost blind, and she was old, and she said if she was going to die, she was going to die in her own house, in her own bed. She just simply refused to use the shelter. I distinctly remember being in the shelter, hearing a rush of wind, followed by this noise that was the most deafening, frightening noise I'd ever heard in my life. Followed by a sensation of the whole of your body being compressed in. The air was pushed out. My father had been on the back wall outside of the house, and the whole wall had collapsed on him, and that was what saved his life. The shelter itself had crumpled and bent, but basically had withstood the blast. And we came out of the shelter, and there was no street left. It was demolished. The house where the old lady lived, that had been completely demolished, and there were some fires going on there. My father rushed to the next door, the family, and found them all to be dead. The blast had killed the whole family down there.
It was a surface shelter that I went to, and it's one of the most cheering sights I've seen since the raid started. I've been round the streets most nights on one job or another, but I've never seen anything to equal this shelter for comfort and cheerfulness. All the people come from a nearby block of flats. There's a family atmosphere, and the place looks fine. There are flags on the walls and pictures of film stars, and the children have hung paper streamers all around. Along one side there are chairs and a few tables, and when I went in, all the women were knitting very busily. There was a babble of talk, and most of the children were playing cards. Everybody was laughing and joking. And if there was any noise from outside, they started singing. Their general motto seemed to be, take the notice.
The aerial bombing caused the evacuation of many of London's children. When it was suggested that the princesses be evacuated, Princess Elizabeth's mother firmly rejected, saying, "The children won't go without me. I won't leave without the king. And the king will never leave." Youngest Princess Elizabeth speaks in broadcast to comfort the citizens and support them in as much as a child can.
I can truthfully say to you all that we children at home are full of cheerfulness and courage. We are trying to do all we can to help our gallant sailors, soldiers, and airmen. And when peace comes, remember, it will be for us, the children of today, to make the world of tomorrow a better and happier place.
June 6, 1944. The invasion of German-occupied Normandy, France, the largest amphibious invasion in history. Nazi Germany military forces have reached its peak. 5,202 tanks, 5,041 Luftwaffe aircraft, and several other forces potentially await the Allied troops.
Now planes are going overhead. That baby was pretty low. I think they just made the statement that no German planes have been seen. And I think there was the first one we've seen so far. He came very low, just cleared our stack, and as he passed, he let go a stream of tracer that did no harm. And then just as that happened, there was a burst of fire on the coast just off of us 5 miles. Heavy firing now just behind us, and anti-aircraft bursts in the sky, and bombs bursting on the shore and along in the convoys from the German planes that are beginning their first attack on the night of June 6th. Now the darkness has come on us. The reverberation of bombs. Every once in a while you see a burst of fire from a bigger caliber on one of the warships firing up. That was a bomb hit. Another one. And the tracer line keeps arcing up into the darkness. on the ship to the side of it? Now it's died down. Blue white flash. Right over our head.
BEF, or British Expeditionary Force, the name given to the British Army in Western Europe during the Second World War.
On the station, I watched the men climbing into the long waiting trains. It was astounding to walk along carriage after carriage full of soldiers and to find in each one silence. For most of the men were fast asleep where they sat. All the way along the line, the people of England stood at the level crossings and in the back gardens to wave to them. And so the men of the BEF came home.
Winston Churchill, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom during World War II.
We ask no favors of the enemy. We seek from them no compunction. On the contrary, if tonight the people of London were asked to cast their vote as to whether a convention should be entered into to stop the bombing of all cities, an overwhelming majority would cry, no, we will mete out to the Germans the measure, and more than the measure, they have meted out to us. People of London, with one voice, would say to Hitler, you have committed every crime under the sun. Where you have been the least resisted, there you have been the most brutal. It was you who began the indiscriminate bombing. We remember Warsaw in the very few days, first few days of the war. We remember Rotterdam. We have been newly reminded of your habit by the hideous massacre in Belgrade. We know too well the bestial assault you are making upon the Russian people, to whom our hearts go out in their valiant struggle. We will have no truce or parley with you or the grisly gang who work your wicked will. You do your worst, and we will do our best.
Yesterday morning at 2:41 a.m., at General Eisenhower's headquarters, General Jodl, the representative of the German High Command, and of Grand Admiral Dönitz, the designated head of the German state, signed the act of unconditional surrender of all German land, sea, and air forces in Europe to the Allied Expeditionary Force and simultaneously to the Soviet High Command.
Very much to see this city, which has suffered by the malice of our assailants. I can see that it has had many of its fine buildings shattered and gutted, but I also see that it has not had the heart of its people cast down. The resolution of the British people is unconquerable. Neither sudden nor violent shocks, nor long, cold, tiring, provoking strains and lulls can or will alter our course.
no country made more strenuous efforts to avoid being drawn into this war. We kept on doing our best. We kept on improving. We profited by our mistakes and our experiences. We turned misfortune to good account. We were told we should run short of this or that, until the only thing we ever ran short of was funds. We did our duty. With quite a little forethought, a little care and decision, and with a rather greater measure of slow persistency, we need never have had to face this thing in our lifetime or in that of our children. I have never given you any assurances of a speedy or easy or cheap victory. On the contrary, as you know, I have never promised anything but the hardest conditions, great disappointments, and many mistakes. But I am sure that in the end, all will be well for us in our island home. All will be better for the world. And there will be that crown of honor to those who have endured and never failed, which history will accord them for having set an example to the whole human race.
Thanks for listening to the first episode of Affliction. This podcast was produced by me, Katie Piedra. For more podcasts like this, visit whje.com.